He don't talk like them suits talk. He talk like your cousin on the phone.
101, 7 the Truth. Tory Lowe Show. We got guests. Hey, look, we got Lance Pitts in the studio. Salute to Lance Pitts because he does so much for the young people. Thank you for coming in on this Tuesday. He has an event, a senior basketball showcase and financial literacy event that's coming up April 18th, April 17th, and it's associated with BMO Harris.
Yes, it is. First of all, thank you, my man. We go back many, many years,
right.
And I'm always proud.
With the Lupus
thing, everything. Yep, so we always do anything with sports and everything, and I try to use sports as a backdrop for everything I do, especially with my nonprofit, but just continue to I love the way you grow on every year, man. You always evolving. So I've always been a fan of your work, and, you know, you always got my support. Anything
Hey, I appreciate that. You know, the thing with me is that I think that everything should always evolve.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that many times we forget that we have to add that extra because we have to be competitive, not only just a lot of people just competitive with the people down the street.
Yes.
We have to be competitive with the surrounding areas and compete as a community to stay in the mix or mm-hmm. we're going to get left behind. So I think that we always have to evolve. Every 6 months, we have to make sure that we check in and see are we flowing with the frequency.
I like that.
And if we're not, then we make the adjustments.
I like that. Hey, that's a great outlook. That's a great outlook. But, yeah, we have a great event. For those that don't know, I'm Lance Pitts. I'm the director of the MPBA Community Cares Nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
In short, we just use sports as a backdrop for mentorship, education, community engagement. April 17th and 18th, we have this great event that Tory just shared with you guys. It's our senior showcase / financial literacy. How the event came together was I was getting calls, and I was telling Tory this before we started. A lot of my friends would call me with their sons or daughters like, hey, Lance, you got a college that you can refer me to for my son? You know, it would kind of go over your head
right.
a little bit. I started hearing the question maybe 2-3 times a week, and then I had a colleague that I worked closely with. And he said the same thing about his nephew. So I said, okay, let me connect the dots a little bit. We have a lot of young men and women who've played varsity basketball at prominent high schools, most of them MPS.
Right.
And as they get ready to graduate this upcoming May or June, they don't have any colleges to go play ball at, in a sense. Now, these are kids that have – I've seen great point averages, 3.2,
mm-hmm.
3.6.
They just didn't make it to that tier where colleges said, hey, look, because it's so much going on with NIL and things like that, that they kind of – it's a lot of great basketball players that don't make it to the next level.
Yes, and compared to when I played many, many, many moons ago where, hey, you do well, hey, here's a letter from a school.
Yeah,
from school,
that's what they tell you until you get there.
Yeah.
And that may not happen.
May not happen. But a lot of these guys and young women don't have the opportunity. So
right.
I decided to call a lot of coaches that I know through my basketball connections and said, hey, I got this great event coming up here in Milwaukee. We're at Mount Mary University. And they all said, sure.
Come scout.
We have nothing to do that weekend. A couple of them I'm flying in personally.
That's powerful.
Coming in from Louisiana, Chicago, Detroit, Iowa. Things of that nature. So
it was programs like this that how Ja Morant got found.
Yeah. Yeah. Similar to like an AU situation. So we got them coming Friday night where they get a chance to speak to the young men and women and let them work out that Friday night. But then also I started getting calls, Tory, from, hey, my son's a freshman. My son's a junior. So I said, OK, let me open up to them because we want to give them the experience early rather mm-hmm. than wait until the last minute. And then after that, we have the game Saturday, right after your community cleanup.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm going to come down there and help you first.
Because our cleanup is done at 12
yep.
p.m. Yeah.
Yep. And then we start at 12. So I'm going to come down there and help out, and then I'm going to jet back to the gym.
That's what's up.
And then I said to myself, you know, what else can we do more than just basketball? How can we educate at the same time? We all know that this generation is everything is quick and instant. A la Cash App, things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
So when they go to college, I said, hey, let's try to partner with BMO Harris Bank. I have some good connections down there, especially the one on King Drive. My good friends, they said, hey, let's put together something where we'll give them a checking account. We'll fund it, $25 for every senior that we get registered for the event. And we'll help them with that and be an ongoing financial literacy community we're going to create while they're now all the way to when they graduate college.
And that's financial literacy training.
Absolutely.
Where they can attend or get some kind of focus on finances. And I think that financial literacy is something that we all need.
Absolutely.
Many times when we think we know, we really don't.
Really don't know.
It's always changing, too. The financial landscape is always changing.
Always, always. So, you know, we don't want these young men to – it's happened to a neighbor of mine. Their son went to college last year, and, you know, we all know what – you went to college. You got financial aid. You got the grant, you know, the Pell Grant, kickback, and – they wouldn't fund it because he had Cash App. He had to have a checking account.
Right.
So I was like,
Cash
App
is like the new checking account.
Yeah, but they wouldn't upload the money to his stuff. So I said, okay, let me
know. But they pushing back against Cash App, too, because I think somebody was like, oh, we don't take Cash App. They wouldn't even take it. Yeah, they're not even accepting it in certain places, maybe in the hood, maybe at the stores and things like that. But certain institutions are not taking Cash App.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, one thing with Cash App, you know, you don't have a customer service number. So you have any issues, there's somebody to go to. Where if you want
a chat box.
Chat box, literally. You know? And then literally if you use like a banking system where they have like Zelle, okay, if you need mom or dad to send you some money immediately, it goes that way. So that way you have a track record.
And they tax you too if you want to see something.
Yeah.
You know,
you see some of those Cash App fees before, Tori?
I'm just trying to tell you. But I think that now this generation, because they had to be self-sufficient. Because sometimes when you have to depend on adults, a lot of broken families, a lot of people felt like I didn't have to talk to nobody to get this Cash App going. Like when you have to go through a bank structure, usually when you're young, the adult in the family takes you and open up the account.
Yep.
So a lot of in a lot of broken neighborhoods, you don't have a lot of kids just don't have that system.
Nobody. Yeah. We know what we know and we don't know what we don't know. And I have to learn it the hard way. I give you and your listeners a quick story. One of my best friends to this day, Shannon Smith, I've been knowing him for over 26 years. I met him when I was like 20 and we went to his house. He had a duplex and I'm like, oh, spoiled kid. Yeah. Your mom lives downstairs. You live upstairs. He's like, no, I own this house.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, you can't own a house at 20. You can't. Well, fast forward. I brought my first house at 25.
Mm-hmm.
All of my friends are all homeowners. You know what you know. You don't know what you don't know.
I agree.
Yeah. Like I'm the first homeowner in my family.
His family, his parents, or whoever introduced them to the concept.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you got to expose somebody to the concept.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't have it because they have never been exposed to how to actually do it.
No one has taught us that, Tori.
Right.
And even with my good friend, Miss Cassandra at BMO Harris, one on King Drive, we got some projects we're going to do. That we want to make sure we have you come in and speak as well, too, from when it goes to home ownership. Auto loan, credit cards, just the financial landscape that we need to learn now because now that we're parents, it's up to us to educate and pass down to our kids.
Right.
So on and so forth because, you know, think about it. Our parents did the best they could, you know. So now it's like, okay, now that we know we have the information, we have to be able to share that. So.
I agree. And it's time to change the next 10 generations.
Yes.
We got to get them into the entrepreneur financial understanding because – you're falling behind if you don't know. Other cultures are teaching their kids how to run stores and things like that. I go into other financial ideas with other people that don't look like me, and their sons are 10 years old running the store. Like, you know, running the automotive idea. You know, if they have like somewhere where they're dealing with cars, the kid is at the register learning how to do business. Mm-hmm. And many times we come from a space or area where – we can't even go to the corner store and see a black owner. You know what I mean?
100% right.
So we have to make sure that we implement or hit the reset button and just teach and not assume that people know.
I like that. I like that. I think those are some of the gems that we, like you said, we have to continue to share, not only with our family but also our community as a whole. I'm always for higher education. I'm always for picking up a skill or trade, but I always educate everybody. Say, hey, you got to learn something, right? We have to learn some kind of skill or something if you want to be successful in society moving forward.
And salute to BMO, you know, for actually being involved in this.
Yeah.
And many times when we talk about the young people, we have to equip them for the future.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times they have to find out on their own. I mean, I had to find out on my own. I didn't know until I got there and then I was around this is why I say I had to get around other people who were doing it to learn. Because where I came from, it wasn't like they didn't know. They wasn't doing it, and this wasn't the environment that I came from.
Definitely.
But then I got out there, and I had a few friends that their daddy owned a farm.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I couldn't come home because I, you know, I couldn't afford it, I had to stay out there for the holidays. I went over to the farm area in these small towns, and their parents was doing things and teaching me things, how to handle certain situations financially, you know, where I wouldn't have got that from grandma.
We wouldn't have got that at all. You know, it's the irony is a lot of financial literacy in our communities, we kind of learn the hard way. I was telling my wife this a while ago. My first financial advisor I had out of college, and you know, I'm working, saving money, this, that, third. And you think that, hey man, $8,000-$9,000 is a lot of money. It'd go very quick. You could blow $9,000 on a couple weekends,
right?
Never realize it. So it's like, okay. And sometimes us as a community, that's our biggest teacher is, okay, you had it, you lost it. If you ever get it back again, here's what you need to do.
And they make it seem like you get it back and lose it, you will never get it back.
You'll never get it back. You know? So I'm like, yeah, yeah. So I tell everybody.
But that's not true.
Yeah, it's not
true. It's just wisdom, you know? Yeah. And my first ideal of financial literacy came from my friend. I had a friend in Iowa that I met in college. His name was Luke. And his dad was a stockbroker. And when he got into college, he had a trust fund from all of the investments. So he was basically well off from his dad being a stockbroker. And by the time he got – he drove up in like a Marseille. He had money from his parents understanding how to work the stock market.
Right.
And so his dad became my first person to introduce me to those concepts of buying stock, investing, bonds, IRAs. I didn't know nothing about that from coming up on the block.
Yeah.
So I just kind of changed my life by just knowing that there was a different – side of life that I had no clue about, but his dad was willing to teach me if I was willing to show up and learn about
it. Yeah, I mean, think about most of our lessons growing up, coming especially from inner city, is, hey, we know it. If you do, if you don't, you don't. Maybe, hey, hanging with Tori and his family, we can someday, they taught us, can rub off on everybody,
right.
But outside of that, that's it. So I think you said something earlier that this next generation and generation moving forward, we have to equip them with the knowledge and the skills that we've learned so we can pass down. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, look, when we come back, Lance, I want to hear more about the Senior Basketball Showcase and how can the community get involved?
Definitely.
With what you're doing? Because you do so many things. You organize around the youth. Ever since I met you, you've always been organizing around the youth. And I also want to talk about what you feel about the takeovers and what did that mean? Tell your plans in dealing with the youth.
Definitely.
Hey, look, when we come back, we'll have more conversation. We got Lance Pitts in studio, MPBA community director in studio. 101, 7 The Truth, Tory Lowe Show. We got Lance Pitts in the studio, MPBA community director, and he deals with a lot of the community ideas around the youth. He has an event coming up, the Senior Basketball Showcase and Financial Literacy event.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit more about the Senior Basketball Showcase, what we should expect when we get there.
So the first thing that I use the word community, right? And we're all part of the community. I'm part of the basketball community. I grew up playing John Marshall High School, UW-Waukesha, where I played ball at, graduated from Concordia. So I know what it is to come back, play ball with everybody, and give back to the next generation. For me, it was as simple as I wanted to connect high school seniors, boys and girls, with college coaches so they have opportunity to play next fall. So, and these are college coaches, Tori, that—
So this is a scouting event?
Yes, yes. So these ain't just coaches coming in because, hey, I know Lance, I'm hanging out. These are coaches coming in like, Lance, we need boys and girls for next season. Yes, if they're available, we would love to have them play for us next year. So that way, these
and they flying in,
So
this ain't just like you just gathering the kids, hoping somebody coming.
Yeah,
the scouts are going to be there.
Yes.
You know, looking at the kids, evaluating a lot of these kids that didn't get looked at may get this second look that they desperately need to continue their careers in basketball.
Absolutely, and the thing about it, they'll be in the gym. And the cool thing about this event is, not only the players, but parents get a chance to meet them face to face. It's one thing for guys like myself or Tori to say, hey, this coach says this or this, but now you get a chance to meet them face to face and learn about not only the program that they run from a basketball standpoint, but also the education component as well, too. One of my good friends, Coach Posey at East West University, downtown Chicago, not even an hour, 20 minutes from us, right there on Michigan Avenue, around the corner from Nike store. They have like loft apartment dorms, beautiful campus, right down the street from us, literally hour and a half away. And it's a great school where he wants to create a pipeline for players from Milwaukee to come here, come to his school.
Oh, wow.
To the point where he's—
Milwaukee got some athletic talent.
Yeah, we're doing well.
We got a couple recent entries in the NBA as well.
Yeah, yeah. So going back to Coach Posey, his thing was, Lance, I can call UW Parkside, I can call Concordia and have home games against those guys. So that way your kids can have like a homecoming game. Mm-hmm. A little bit rather than just playing on the road. So that's the cool thing about it, just interacting and just making that conversation between parents, players, and coaches. And these are like these are good friends of mine as well, too. There was no cold calling. No cold calling like, hey, I'm Lance Pitts. These are Coach Dalio at Highland University. That's in Chicago as well, too.
Mm-hmm.
My good friend, Coach Longhorn, he's in Iowa Central coming in. Coach Kev from Southern University.
That's what's up.
You know, so these guys that I'm flying in and driving in just to help out with these.
And let me tell you this. When you talk about giving these kids that opportunity, that's powerful. That is powerful. Because I remember when I had to go off into college in Iowa. This college in Iowa was like, hey, Tori, we want to come and look at you. And I didn't even know how to catch the Greyhound. I just had to figure it all out, and I had to talk to one of my counselors. I was living with grandma. Grandma ain't never really don't know nothing about that.
Yeah.
So the fact that you're there and you're trying to guide them to the next level of life, and as a mentor and as a person that they can kind of get an understanding of what's going on, that is powerful.
Yeah, and that's what we wanted to do is and one thing for the listeners too, I'm big on affordability. You've seen events like this throughout the country from $200, $300. We're only charging $50 for seniors. Freshmen to juniors, they're only paying $35.
Mm-hmm.
And with the seniors, remember, they get a checking account through BMO Harris that's already funded, ready to go. So that's us giving back to saying, hey, we want to help with this journey from now until you guys graduate from college.
Now, how do people sign their kids up? Do they have to have a certain basketball history, or is it just any senior?
It's going to be any senior now. First, we want to keep it only for high school basketball players, which we have a good pool from. Mm-hmm. But I've also had other kids hit me up to, hey, I love to play sports. I didn't have an opportunity. Get signed
so
up.
So you just anybody that can ball, like, you know.
If you can play ball.
Who makes it onto the court for the scouts? I mean.
That's what Friday night's
that's
for.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah. So Friday night's going to be important.
You got all these kids coming. Yeah. And so how does this work?
Yep. So Friday night, we'll be at Mount Mary where the event will take place Friday night and Saturday afternoon. From 5 to 9, we'll be in the gym. We'll have the coaches introduction. Not only mentioned, they'll get a chance to talk about their schools and universities, but also players and parents can introduce themselves as well, too. After the introductions, now we're on the court, Tori. Now we get a chance to see who can do what.
Okay.
And then for the game Saturday, we'll place everybody we need to be. Also, we have uniforms for the games, too. So parents, your son or daughter will have a uniform. So,
how can they tap in? What is the information they need to tap in? Where can they go? What website they can go to? What phone number?
Yep. So you can feel free to call or text me directly at 414-807-2740, 414-807-2740. You can follow MPBA Community Cares on Facebook. The flyer is going everywhere. Feel free to inbox me. We have a registration QR code, but the flyers all over Facebook. I'll share it with you. Text me, direct me. I'll send it to you directly.
Now, there's a recent incident with takeovers that everybody been talking about, but you deal with the youth.
Mm-hmm.
How does that make you feel when you see something like this going on with the youth right here in the city of Milwaukee?
You know, when I first saw it, the first thing we tend to do is, you know, We tend to take blame. Who's responsible for what, right? I think these are what we call teachable moments as well, too, at the same time. Do a lot of our youth, especially in the city of Milwaukee, I think we struggle with identity in a sense, especially a lot of our youth, not knowing that some of the activities they may partake in are borderline, if not full-blown criminal activities,
mm-hmm.
right? And the worst thing to find out is when you have cuffs around your wrist that, oh, I didn't know it was that serious, right? Or someone gets hurt. I think starts with parenting, obviously, first. We have to tell our youth, especially our sons, daughters, just nephews, that, hey, you're loved, you come from a family, this last name means something. They have to have a sense of purpose. I will say this, Tori, every generation is responsible for something positive they contributed and something negative mm-hmm. they contributed. And I think we need to have those honest conversations as well, too, rather than just, you know, being the old man on the porch.
Right.
We have to be able to use that time to teach, like, hey, we did this. Our listeners, your listeners, we remember Capitol Court. Remember the Capitol Court riot. You remember that, Tori.
Mm-hmm.
You remember
that? We remember the Sherman Park cruising.
You remember
they
that.
They was cruising on Sherman Park, and a lot of the youth was getting in trouble for that.
We remember those days vividly, right? So I don't want us to be the guys to say, oh, this is just out of control, right? Every generation we have to say, hey, if we don't take
care of
them
up and throw away the kids.
Yeah, we can't do that. It's not even fair. The narrative that was going on, and you remember this story, was, well, it's nothing for these kids to do. I mean, that's a false narrative. There's a lot of things for the kids to do. It may not be what they particularly want to do, right? Look at the skating situation. Remember Skating University?
Right.
That's closed now. Butler has it where
they actually terrorize some of the kids.
Yeah.
Where some of the kids are complaining that, you know,
mm-hmm.
they not wanted there or something, incidents have taken place.
Yeah.
To show a little,
yep,
make you raise an eyebrow on what took place.
Yep, so to the point where, hey, they want one adult per kid or two kids, right? So these are conversations we have, like, hey, if we can't control how we interact, then there's going to be limited things that you guys can do. Think about the mall. You used to be able to walk through the mall with no problems. Now you have to have, it's a curfew at the mall. Movie theaters, you know, so we have to share it with, like, hey, if we don't control how we interact or our behavior, it's going to be limited.
Are there enough programs for the kids? Like, the kids are saying that there's nothing to do. But if you listen to the grown-ups, we got programs.
Yes, there's.
What is the disconnect?
The disconnect, Tori, is how I want to be entertained. That's the disconnect. Mm-hmm. Outside of sports, entertainment, music, things of that nature, there's always tons of Boys and Girls Club, YMCAs. Running Rebels.
I had that when I was a kid, though.
Yeah, we had that, right?
But is that, are we upgrading the ideas to fit the needs of the youth today? Are we keeping current?
No. No. Think about it from a parent standpoint. I have a 16-year-old at Mesmer. Shout out to my son, Sky. He's in activities. He runs track. The young man, a young woman that doesn't do sports, well, we have to tap in and find out what's their niche or their interest in. We have
social
to find
media.
Okay. Yeah.
Facebook.
Cool.
TikTok. Instagram.
Yep. Well, then maybe we need to say, hey, let's create
Snapchat.
Let's create a podcast studio and teach them how to do this stuff then. Because if they want to be entertained that way, then, you know.
Or show them how to build those technologies as well.
There you go. Anything that can monetize and they can make money, oh, they're all in.
Okay.
They're all in. So, but like you said, 100, 200 kids arguing, fighting, it's just a matter of time for something happens. And that's the safety part that we try to steer them away from. Like, hey, 200 kids at one spot at one time is probably never a good idea. Mm. So.
Well, I'm going to give you your last words. What do you want the community to know about what you're doing, how they can help you, Lance? And many times when we talk about people that are out here organizing with the youth, a lot of those flyers don't go viral.
Right. Right.
Like the takeover flyer.
Yeah. Yeah. And we just talked about that off the air a little bit. Where it's like, hey, that thing got to circulate. I'm like, oh, this is where it came from.
Mm-hmm.
I think I always work from a solution based. This summer, I was telling Tori for his listeners that we will put together probably late June. We're going to do a safe summer charity basketball game. We need Tori to lace them up. You got to put your shoes on.
Here we go.
You got to put your shoes on.
How come I can't coach? You know, I've been the coach for the last 5-6 years now.
Well, you know what? You got a jump shot of 2 in you. I know you do, man. Even if you got to play the fourth quarter.
You know, I got a layup. I got a few layups. I got a jump shot, a layup.
Yeah, so I want to get together with a lot of community partners, organizations. I've talked to some of the MPD, fire department, paramedics about putting together this safe summer game we're going to do. But then also I'm putting together – some kind of summer program. I'm still putting the kinks together what I want to do. It will be something with podcasting, just to keep everybody busy. That way they can tap into their social media and keep mm-hmm. them busy that way. So I got a couple projects I'm working on that I'll be coming back, share with your listeners. And also, just want to give you flowers tomorrow. I share with your listeners. You got an award that my organization gave you for your community spotlight for the work you've been doing. And I want to bring it today, but
y'all gonna come back through tomorrow on the show?
I'll give it to you. Yeah, I'm gonna give it to you. Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah, yeah. That way I can.
Here we go.
I got my phone, so I'll make sure that I record everything. So for the work that you guys do, man, and it's amazing, man. So
well, I'll tell you this, you
definitely need it.
I think that many times when we out here selfless, we deal with the what they call the financial issue on the back end, mm-hmm. because sometimes I ain't never got no support. So what I'm saying is sometimes I don't think about the cost. I just try to get the event or the idea implemented.
Yeah.
And then I'll just have to pay for it on the back end, move some things around so I can make it happen. But I think that many times when we talk about the front lines, we learn how to manage in the moment.
Yeah.
And without a lot of the fanfare or the support that we should be getting, but many times we find a way to make it happen and we organize with the best intentions of getting the positive outcomes.
Definitely.
That's why I appreciate you, Brother Lance, because that's what I know about knowing you. You've always been like that, trying to find different ways to help with the youth, you know, through athletics, which is something that affected your life.
Yeah, definitely. I made so many relationships through basketball. Mm-hmm. And a lot of lessons that
I'm going to need you to join the celebrity basketball team.
I'm going to play next year. Hey, I'm playing next year.
We got to put him down on the we can't lose another game.
I'm playing next year. I promise you, I'm playing next year.
Sometimes we need the help.
Wait a minute. To the brothers on the front lines ain't got time to be out there playing basketball. So I kept it honest. I got the brothers that do the work, but that didn't translate to the hoop.
Well, we got to use you as a secret weapon. So that last 2 minutes of the fourth quarter, Torrey goes to the back, get dressed. Yo, he come out. Because guess what? Nobody planned for you. You're not in the game plan. You're not in the scouting report.
And
that's it. 2 threes in the corner, that's game right there. You didn't plan for it. That's it.
That's what happened with Kenneth Locke, pastor of the Evolve Church.
Yeah.
They stuck him in the fourth quarter. He hit 2 big three-pointers.
See? That's why.
Changed the game.
That's why. I played against Pastor Locke in college. It's funny. We talk about sometimes.
Oh, wow. So he actually in college. Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was good. He was good.
That's what's up. I didn't know that. He didn't say that when he was on the show. He didn't tell me that he was a basketball player.
Yeah. For y'all to know, Pastor talked a lot of trash back then, too. So it's kind of – you got to look at him sideways like, remember what you said to me on the court that day? Like,
oh, wow. Well, now he's, you know, the chaplain for the Milwaukee Bucks and things like that.
Yeah, he's good people.
He was just in the studio. But I didn't know he played basketball. Next time I see him, I'm going to say,
Yep.
I thought Jesus was with that jump shot.
Yeah.
Oh, but really, he actually played the game.
He can play, man.
Oh,
okay. And he can play. Very strong.
I thought the grace of God got at that three-point shot.
Yeah. Very strong guard. He was kind of tough to guard back then. And, you know, he had some muscles on him, too. You know, he still got a frame on him. But, yeah, he was good.
Now I got some ammunition. Thanks, Lance.
It's good. I appreciate
it, man. For filling me in. Hey, I appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you,
but
man.
But look, salute to you, everything that you're doing, and anything I can do to help, just let me know. You already know.
I appreciate it, man. Hey, for all your listeners, like I said, if Torrey can continue to help share the flyer, my biggest thing I'm doing now between next week is just make sure that everybody's aware.
Right.
I bring it to awareness.
Give the information again for those that want to participate.
So you can follow my page, Lance Pitts, or MPBA Community Cares page. All the flyers are on there. I got videos of stuff that we made. If you need to reach me for your son or daughter to register, no matter if they're a freshman or senior, 414-807-2740. Or contact Torrey. He can reach me as well.
All right.
So thank you.
When we come back. Thank you, Lance, for coming on. When we come back, we'll have more conversation, Truth Nation. Stay locked in right here on Tory Lowe.
You are listening to The Tory Lowe Show on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.